The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 15th, and continues through the month of June 2026. The commentary for June was written by Tina Francis, a writer, photographer, and seminarian pursuing the priesthood in the Episcopal Church. Born to South Indian parents, raised in Dubai, and shaped in Canada and Seattle, she carries many homes in her bones, an atlas of memory and migration. The commentary for Monday begins as follows. It's taken from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 11a through 12b. For I am longing to see you, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Here's the commentary. I never signed up to be a Eucharistic visitor. Like with so many ministries, I was conscripted by the Holy Spirit. My church, Emmanuel, in Geneva, Switzerland, is the only Episcopal church in the country. We live 4 hours away from the church building and thus are hybrid members, making it to church in person every 6 weeks or so. One day, the rector got an email from a couple in California asking whether it would be possible to provide pastoral care for their elderly mother who lived in Switzerland. She wasn't anywhere close to Geneva, but it turns out she was just 10 minutes away from our tiny mountain town. The Lord works in mysterious ways, including geographically. My husband and I now visit her regularly. We bring communion, which I collect in my little wooden Eucharistic visitor kit whenever we're in Geneva, and transport cross-country. The three of us share together in the Eucharist, and each time I leave the visit, I have been strengthened by her spirit and encouraged by her faith. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Jesus answered, You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? He said to them, Because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And the moving forward question for this Monday, who has strengthened you? Thank them for their care. The commentary for Tuesday begins with the passage from Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 11, verse 1a. Now when the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes, the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Now I'm going to read the gospel for this day. It is from Matthew, chapter 17, verses 22 through 27. As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised." And they were greatly distressed. When they reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes, he does." And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first, asking, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their children or from others?" When Peter said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the children are free. However, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin. Take that and give it to them for you and me." And now I'm going to read the commentary for this Tuesday. To get to the trailhead in our mountain town, you have to gain about 300 feet of altitude. There are two options to get there, and we've given them nicknames. There's the church path, the official hiking trail, fairly steep but efficient, extending straight up the road from the village church. Then there's an unofficial trail that is much closer to our house and much quicker to the trailhead, but much, much steeper. We call this the 8 a.m. path. At my old church, the 10:30 sung Eucharist typically featured the epistle, the psalm, and the gospel at the earlier spoken Eucharist. All three of the scriptures were read along with the Old Testament. I asked why once, and our priest replied jokingly that people who get up early enough to come to the 8 a.m. service are tough enough to handle four lessons. That's how the AM path got its name. It's like the church path, only tougher. We don't always take it sometimes. We're too tired, but it's worth it when we do. And the moving forward question for this day is, which path do you need to take today? The commentary for Wednesday begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law! All the day long it is in my mind." Oh, how I love your law, with an exclamation mark even. Okay, goody two-shoes, that's some next-level apple polishing right there. Well, that was my first reaction to Psalm 119. And, to be honest, my current reaction as well. I just don't get it. I like Scripture as much as the next person, but I wouldn't say that I think about God's law, or even God, all day long. If I'm honest, I don't even want to. I know some people live a life of pure contemplation, but to me it seems, I don't know, nerdy, boring, impossible. There's a concept from Ignatian spirituality, desiring to desire. When we feel like we should want something but don't, we can either feel guilty or we can desire to desire it. We can pray for a transformation, asking God for a change of heart. I can't honestly say that Psalm 119 resonates with me, but I'm hopeful that it might someday. I desire to love God's law so much that I want to add an exclamation mark. And now I'm going to read from 119 in the Psalms, verses 97 through 120. "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous ordinances. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Go away with me. Go away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you count as dross. Therefore I love your decrees. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your decrees. I am afraid of your judgments. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, what do you desire to desire? Now, the commentary for Thursday begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., our church holds midday prayer on Zoom. You never know who will sign on from where. People join from their offices, home offices, or church offices. They join in from hospital waiting rooms and living rooms. They join in from buses or trains or cars. Sometimes they join in from early morning hotel room in Iowa or a spot of shade in a Greek olive orchard. It's usually over by 12:47, but it's a ray of sunshine in the midst of the workday. We use a simple order of service with a few lines of scripture and a poem or meditation. Then we bring our own prayers before God, praying for everything from peace in war-torn countries to health and healing for parishioners, to safe travels on summer holidays, to endurance and confidence for students studying for exams. We give thanks for the technology that allows us to share this moment despite the geographic distance. No matter how many people sign on, whether it's seven or two, as we gather together, we know God is in the midst of us. And now I'm going to read the gospel for today from Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 20. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And the moving forward suggestion for this day is to join a midday prayer service, either in person or online. The commentary for Friday begins with a passage from Psalm 91, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The tiny, twisty mountain road was difficult enough to drive in a compact car, a fact I had forgotten when I opted to travel by bus instead. I watched out the window as we took hairpin curves over very steep drops. The tire's clearance from the cliff's edge was 6 inches in wider spots, and I was gripped by anxiety. I took advantage of the seatbelt on my back row seat, buckling up even though none of the other passengers seemed worried. I spent the rest of the trip praying fervently that we would make it safely to our destination without toppling down the mountain. We did, of course. I knew rationally that I was being irrational, but anxiety is sometimes irrational. The seatbelt was comforting, but what I needed was trust. Trust that the bus driver knew what she was doing and that God did too, with angels that had charge over all of us. And now I'm going to read the full passage of Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what are you anxious about? Bring it before God in prayer. The commentary for Saturday begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. Is that seat available? I looked up, then looked around the train carriage. There were several other compartments with only one person in them. Why did he have to choose mine? I sighed, nodded, and moved my bag off the seat next to me. Resentfully, I went back to reading the Bible. It took me longer than I care to admit to recognize the irony. Here I was, piously using my train ride to read Scripture, but clearly not taking it to heart. Loving your neighbor and welcoming the stranger also apply during your commute. I know this, and yet I still get irritated at tiny affronts, like someone politely asking to sit where my laptop bag is sitting. Like St. Paul said, I'm no better off. I'm still under the power of sin. Becoming a kinder, more welcoming person requires more than just reading the words. It takes prayer and practice and grace. I'm trying and constantly reminding myself that loving my neighbor even means loving my seat neighbor and welcoming them into the compartment. And now I'm going to read from Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. What then? Are we any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one. Their throats are opened graves. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of vipers is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their paths. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And the moving forward question for this day, what irritates you? How would you like to react differently when some irritation happens? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the reading and the commentary for Sunday. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. The earth and the sun are about 93 million miles apart, and that pales in comparison to the distance between the chair where I pray and my desk. It's only 5 feet, but some days it seems like a light year. The inspiration, aspiration, and conviction that is breathed into me while I sit quietly in the corner of my office seems to fade as soon as I open my eyes. I want to tell in the light what is said to me in the dark, but sometimes it seems so big. How can I possibly do it justice? How can I even start? I can get overwhelmed by thinking I need to go the distance alone. But prayer is not limited to one side of the room only. Whether it's an idea for a sermon or a book or an email, if I can cross the vast expanse and make it to my computer, I can take the first step and then trust that the Spirit will journey with me as I try to bring what I've heard into the dark and light. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And the moving forward question for this Sunday is, what small steps help you turn contemplation into action? And that's just about all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary in the next couple of weeks for Forward Day by Day, a publication, forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.